You're listening to the Newsmakers podcast from MLB.com.
The Reds had a 5.09 ERA last year, and in my opinion, they improved their bullpen by adding a guy who I consider one of the nicest guys in the world. His name is Drew Storen. And Drew, thank you so much for being with me.
Yeah, Bill, thanks for having me.
Drew, the ironic part is you grew up a Reds fan, and tell me how ironic that is that you're playing with the Reds now.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, how this game seems to be full circle. I get a chance to play for the Mariners last year, and growing up idolizing Ken Griffey Jr. and getting to meet him and see his jersey retired was pretty special. And then now to wear that Cincinnati Reds jersey is another thing to kind of add, and, you know, kind of stuff you really can't script.
Talk about the people you grew up idolizing, you know, in terms of being a Reds fan.
Well, I know I was Chris Sabo at least two or three times for Halloween, where I'd slap on the swimming goggles and rock the 17 jersey. So that was my first idol. And, you know, obviously once Griffey got there, I really enjoyed watching him. And then towards, you know, as I got older, Scott Rolen went there. So he was somebody I always looked up to and, you know, actually got to play against him. So that was pretty cool.
Drew, why are the Reds a great fit for you? Why'd you sign with them?
It's a fantastic opportunity for me, you know, to get, you know, throw some meaningful innings late in the game. And, you know, they have a young bullpen. So, you know, hopefully that's something that, you know, with all my different experiences that I can help those young guys out and at the same time get out there and get some important outs.
Are you expected to be the closer? Do you know what your role will be?
No, I don't. And, you know, it's one of those things that, as you know, we've talked plenty about this in the past, and, you know, it's not something that's up to me, and really just comes down to, you know, me throwing like myself, and if I throw the way I'm supposed to, I'm going to be back there at some point, and, you know, all those outs matter, and like I said, it's just a matter of me concerning myself with my performance more than my role.
You also being reunited with catcher Tucker Barnhart, and tell me how good it feels to be throwing to him. He's one of the catchers on the Reds.
Yeah, it's really special. I really enjoy throwing to Tuck in high school and have thrown with him in past off seasons. So he's somebody that, you know, really knows what I like to do and takes a lot of pride behind the plate. So that's something, you know, I feel like I've gotten a head start on the season already because I've thrown all my bullpens to him and just our ability to talk like, okay, here's what I like to do and kind of be on the same page going into spring is a big help.
Drew, last year it was – you had a – okay season. You got off to a slow start with the Blue Jays, and then you really picked it up with the Seattle Mariners. Could you talk about what happened last season? You got off to the slow start, and then when you got traded to the Mariners, you really picked it up.
Yeah, you know, it's it was one of those things that I appreciate you kind of sugarcoating. It was a very frustrating season for me, and, you know, it's one of those things that going into Toronto, I think you always look to improve, and I think I got away from what made me successful. And, you know, my pitch selection kind of became different. And, you know, it's a tough division to pitch in, but I also didn't really think I was executing the way I should have. So, you know, and that gets frustrating. And then, you know, when you're kind of put in a hole early, you just try to sometimes do a little too much. And so once I got traded, it was one of those things that all right, here we go. You got 2 months. Let's make the most of it. And it's a, you know, Seattle's a great place to play, you know, great staff and a good group of guys out there. And, you know, we were playing meaningful baseball. So I was putting high leverage spots, kind of coming in with a bunch of guys on and, you know, having to dig some guys out of jams, which I thoroughly enjoyed. So, you know, my big thing when I got moved was just kind of end the season on a good note.
And what did you do differently in Seattle? Because you did well.
Yeah, I think a lot of it came back to my pitch selection. You know, I got back to kind of what I looked at, all right, here's where I was getting hurt in Toronto. You know, let's make the adjustment here. And, but, you know, it's one of those things that it just comes down to execution. You know, it doesn't matter what pitch you're throwing, if you don't execute it, it's going to get hit.
You were in the American League for a whole year last year. Do you see a difference between the American League and the National League?
Yeah, no question. I've always paralleled it kind of between the NBA and NCAA when it comes to offense.
Oh, wow.
You know, you have those high leverage, you know, high power offenses with the DH and all that stuff. And I think you kind of double down on that when you talk about the AL East. So, you know, it was pretty fascinating to see because in the NL, coming out of the bullpen, you tend to really look at where you're at in the order to kind of go with guys' approaches. Okay, towards the end of the order here, these guys are probably going to try to get on base more or whatnot. Well, in the AL, 1 through 9, all those guys are can hit home runs, and you know they kind of they play long ball. So it was definitely fascinating to see, and it was a good challenge for me.
Tell me, what do you expect to do in terms of your pitching selection and everything this year with the Reds?
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing. Like I said, it's one of those things that when you have your struggles, and that's when you really learn what makes you successful. Because when things are going well, you tend to get away with more. So, you know, like I said, it's just being able to throw any pitch in any count. That's something I've been able to do, you know, since day one. And if I can do that and kind of keep guys off balance, you know, that's the big thing. Because, you know, as a reliever, it just comes down to, you know, if we make that one mistake, we pay for it. So, you know, you keep those guys off balance and kind of keep them guessing, then you're in good shape.
Drew, you were with the Nationals for 5 years. You were one of the reasons they had a nice run. While you were there, they won 2 division titles. I just want to know, what did you learn during your 5 years? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think you were treated fairly towards the end. But tell me what you learned being with the Nationals.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many different experiences, and you know, you don't realize how long 5 years really is, but you think about the fact that I came up as a 22-year-old, and, you know, I learned a lot. And I think the biggest thing is learning how to win and learning what it takes. I think you really learn how important a clubhouse is, and, you know, being able to learn from guys like Ryan Zimmerman and Jason Worth and kind of how, you know, they're different leaders. You know, you have Ryan that's one of the best at leading by example, and then you have Jason who's an incredible vocal leader too. So, you know, I think it's kind of one of those things that you learn to kind of just stay in your lane, and the more you press, you know, it's not the try hard league, and you can sometimes get in more trouble doing that. And you know, there's just a lot of lessons that really, you know, you only learn by experiences. And I think, you know, having our ups and downs in DC and having the success and seeing the difference between the team and the organization from when I first got there to those, you know, 2 division titles was, you know, pretty fascinating, and, you know, obviously means a lot to me to be a part of that.
Tell me, what was your best moment in D.C.?
I would say one of my favorite moments was that first, I guess it was in 12, when we actually clinched just a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. And just the emotion around that, just because that was one of those things that you started to realize just how big baseball really was, because, you know, we, quite frankly, we weren't that relevant when I first came up, and, you know, for good reason. And but then you saw all the history and just how much it meant to people, you know, in the stands and, you know, watching on TV and stuff like that. That really was special. And like I said, to be a part of that, you know, it's always special to join a tradition and, you know, carry that on, but to kind of just create something out of a new organization, you know, that was kind of revamped, then that really is special.
And the final question, Drew, you're a family man now. You have a son, I believe. And tell me how good that feels to be a family man right now.
It's awesome. You know, it's one of those things that you always hear people talk about how much that changes your life and really changes your perspective on everything. But, you know, it really is special. And to see a little version of you and hopefully more of my wife in them, you know, it's really one of those things that you can't put a price on. And, you know, I look forward to getting home every day to see him smile. And, you know, it's amazing how quick he's already grown. And I really look forward, you know, hopefully being able to have him come in the clubhouse at some point.
That's great. Drew Starrett, listen, thank you so much. And it's always great talking to you.
You as well, Bill. Thank you so much.